so as that it flows so seamlessly, but you do not have silence, then perhaps you're missing something. Silence is a great gift. We often, in the busyness of our world, long for silence, for those moments when we can just breathe and rest and live into the promise of Psalm 46, verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." Silence has power. In fact, silence can be more powerful than the high decibel shouting of a throng of thousands. Silence can be overwhelming. Silence can be stifling. Silence can even be oppressive. Several years ago, I was at a pastor's retreat, and the guest speaker was a former bishop from the state of Montana. And he told this story. The pastor in his smallest parish had an illness in the family, and the pastor needed to leave for an extended period of time to take care of the family struggles that were going on. And so he, as the bishop, didn't have anybody else to take the pastor's place, so the bishop did it himself. He went out to this small little church on the Montana prairie for a month to cover this church so the pastor could go and be with his family. And he said that of all the realities of going back into the parish after being a bishop and being on the synod staff and being an educator, of all the realities of going back into the parish, he said that the thing that surprised him the most was that it wasn't the events of daily pastoral ministry. It wasn't the rigors of once again writing weekly sermons or even dealing with the quirks of personalities and personal relationships. He said the thing that surprised him the most was the silence that he experienced on the Montana prairie. The quietness was, in his words, overpowering. He would sit on the porch of the parsonage in the evenings. His family was back in their hometown, and he was there alone, and he was just amazed at the silence. Surrounded as he was by the beautiful amber waves of grain, it was the consistent waves of silence that made the deepest impression upon him. He said that it was both a welcome silence from the hustle and bustle of bishop life, but it was also disconcerting, and often at the same time. Now we know that silence is healing and helpful. We long for silence in so many ways. It can be refreshing and renewing, and I believe that it is necessary to deepen our relationship with God, that we model our lives after Jesus. And Jesus modeled silent time away in prayer with the Father. This was vital to fueling Jesus' ministry, and so as his followers, it should be vital for us too, both those who find silent time to be a gift if you're introverted, or people like me who find silent time to sometimes be a waste of time as an extrovert. The reality is, it was a gift to our Lord. It is it to be modeled by our lives of faith as well. But that all being said, not discounting any of the benefits of silence, it is also true that silence can carry with it the danger of loneliness, and at its most devastating and oppressive, darkness. You see, it was silence that helped to perpetuate the greatest evils of our age. When the silence was finally broken, when word came about the atrocities committed upon 6 million Jewish people, the world was heartbroken. The silence that led to apartheid in South Africa. While there were some brave souls, Nelson Mandela, Desmond Tutu among them, who sought to break the silence, it took many years for apartheid to fall and for liberation to occur. I think of the realities of our current day, the realities of the silence that surrounds the struggle of children in Syria right now. You see, silence does kill. And in even less dramatic ways than these, the silence of abuse within a family can seem like the weight of the world. The silence of addiction can overwhelm and even overcome a person who would rather keep the silence than seek help. Silence between spouses who can't or won't talk about marital problems can lead to unhealthy behavior and even divorce. The silence of mockery and ridicule in our schools and on social media can lead some of our youngest people to question their own reason for living, or even worse, cause them to consider harming others. Even amidst its great benefits and blessings, silence can cause great harm. Silence on any number of issues or events can and does lead to a destructive, demeaning, oppressive, and unhealthy darkness. And the reality is, it has been this way from the beginning. In the book of Genesis, we read that God created the heavens and the earth from a formless, empty, silent darkness. And God does so by breaking the silence. And God said, "Let there be light." And God said, "Let the light, let the land produce." And God said, "Let us make humankind in our own image." To be sure, while silence can bring a formless and empty darkness into our lives, God will, God has, and God promises always to seek to break the silences of darkness again and again and again in your life. And God does so most powerfully in the man Jesus of Nazareth, the one who we call, among many other things, the one we call the Word of God. Jesus, the Word of God, comes into our world, into your lives, to model what it looks like to break the silences that overwhelm and seek to control us. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus meets the Samaritan woman at the well. And upon meeting her, Jesus asks her for a drink. She responds, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" Jesus, you see, was supposed to keep the silence. It was a barrier of silence that had many layers. Jesus and the woman were from different groups of people, groups who did not like each other very much. In fact, the Jews, Jesus' people, felt like the Samaritans were impure. and did not worship God correctly, and so they did not and would not associate them. If you were a faithful Jew, you wouldn't even walk through the area called Samaria. Likewise, Jesus was a man, and men were not supposed to talk to another woman in public, certainly not one who was not their spouse. Yet Jesus, the Word of God, broke these barriers of silence. And he did so for one purpose: to liberate the woman, to liberate her from oppression, and to shine light into her darkness. Indeed, she came that day to the well at a time when other people would not have been there. Why? Because the woman was of a marginalized group of people, but also because tradition holds that she was of questionable character. She did not want to be there as other people spoke about her. The invitation that Jesus gives her in this moment, the kingdom invitation that Jesus offers by breaking the silence, is the one that he offers to you as well. It is the one to see yourself not through the eyes of those who would judge you, those who would seek to define you by worldly standards. It is to see yourself through the eyes of Jesus. Because Jesus sees you not through the prism of your sin or your brokenness or the divisions that our world construct around you and name and put upon you. No, on this point, Jesus, the Word of God, is not and will not ever be silent. Jesus, the Word, claims you first. And he offers to you, his beloved children, living water. Jesus promises to continually meet you on your journey. In fact, like the Samaritan woman, I submit to you that Jesus is already waiting on you. As you head down unknown paths of your journey, wherever you are, whoever you are, whatever your journey and the path it will take, Jesus is not only waiting on you, but I believe he is anticipating you. And like the Samaritan woman, he will offer you living water. The living water of God's grace that will rush thunderously through your darkest valleys, bringing you hope and life. Like he did for the Samaritan woman, he will offer you living water that will wash away the barriers that would seek to contain you, and instead usher you into freedom and opportunity of life in the kingdom of God. Like the Samaritan woman, the living water that Jesus will offer you will nourish you and strengthen you so that you will no longer keep silent in the face of discrimination and amidst the false divisions of our world. Like the Samaritan woman, you too will be given the courage to use your unique gifts to share about this one who has met you and claimed you and named you in your baptism, and who continues to meet you and name you and claim you in your lives today. And as you share and as you witness about what God has done in your life, then friends, like the Samaritan woman, you will change the lives of those around you. God broke into the silence and created all that is. God broke into the silence, claimed a people, Israel, and promised to deliver a Savior from them. And God breaks into our world today through the gift of the Spirit and enacts mercy, justice, grace, and forgiveness. And in what still echoes and reverberates today in your life and mine, God broke the silence of Good Friday. with a sin-shattering cry of an empty tomb. In Jesus' name, amen.